I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Super excited. Have a great friend joining us today, Sarah Falvo. She is the managing director at the ArcView Group. She also runs the Women's Inclusion Group at ArcView. And I happen to see her basically everywhere, every city, every event across the country, especially when it comes to cannabis. So, Sarah, great to have you on the show.
It is so nice to be here, Jeff. And that's where we met at one of the amazing events. And I'm so happy that we have, you know, continued this friendship.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to just, you know, say I'm so sorry for your loss on the House of Puff cannabis data quiz that I beat you.
I want a rematch. I was very tired. It was a very early morning recording, as you know, at MJ VizCon.
You were tired? You were tired? By the way, we hosted the event the night before with Diplo at MJ Viz. And I think I had about 45 minutes of sleep. And I was like, how am I going to this recording at like, what was it, like 9 a.m. or something?
Something like that. I am
something
pretty sure.
Or 8 a.m. or something like that. And I actually watched it the other day when, you know, they released it. And I'm like, whoa, I sounded really, really hungover. Like, not
really. But no one would have known if you didn't just spill that secret, too.
I know. But, you know, somehow I had all the correct answers.
You did. I think Christina, like,
myself, I gotta say.
Yeah, I think someone slipped you the answers. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Sarah, listen, you know, it is great having you on the show. And, you know, why don't you give us, like, just a quick update maybe on, you know, I know you're doing a lot of things at ArcView and a lot of things elsewhere as well. But, you know, you kind of have a, you know, a very interesting background in the sense of, you know, your career. Let's kind of talk about, like, well, for one, how did you even get into cannabis? Because you were literally working for the San Diego Museum of Art.
Yeah.
And, you know, you pretty much moved into the, you know, the cannabis staffing space as early as, what, 2018?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of had a little bit of headwinds on what was happening in the industry before many of us. Actually, no, I think it was 2017.
Yes, I don't even know. You could throw out a date. I'm like, yes, yes. You know, it's the whole dog years thing. Yes, 2017.
So what was it? I want to hear about what you're up to, of course. But what was it that you were like, yeah, I'm going to move into this space?
Absolutely. So I think it started with just growing up in Southern California. The whole vibe around everything really was around cannabis. I was a consumer since high school. And ironically, also, I've learned recently that my preschool tuition was paid by the proceeds from my dad selling cannabis. And that is also how my parents met. And my dad was also doing some home grow in the backyard in our little beach community. So I think I kind of came by it honestly. My parents have been always very supportive. They've known about my use, you know, since late teenage years, actually probably earlier because my mom definitely knew that I was stealing her weed, but didn't want to say anything because then she would be admitting that she smoked weed as well. So it was kind of this funny dance. But yes, I went to school. I ended up with a degree in public relations. I tried to go the TV radio route. I was terrible with switchboards and things like that, so decided to go for public relations. Out of school, I ended up going into nonprofit fundraising on the East Coast, and then ended up moving back to San Diego and worked for the San Diego Museum of Art, doing major gift fundraising and planned giving and event production and all of that jazz. But I kept feeling unfulfilled, and I was thinking about what was going to be my next move. Where did I want to go? And I didn't want to just do fundraising in another organization. So it just kept coming back to cannabis. It was either craft beer or cannabis. I wanted to kind of be in a space that I felt passionate about. So craft beer and cannabis. And I ended up going to a Women Grow event. I met my then CEO. She offered me the opportunity to come in as employee number one into a cannabis executive search and staffing company. And so I said yes. And I think, you know, since I joined the industry 5 years ago, that's what I've been doing. I've been saying yes to a lot of opportunities, even 8 a.m. recordings at MJ BizCon, just because I think in this industry, you need to say yes, because you never know where those opportunities are going to land you.
Just say yes.
And so you're right. I did have a great kind of holistic view of the industry from early on. This was pre-adult use in California. So I was able to see the change from medical to adult use, which was also very eye-opening and interesting. But I was able to make connections with people who were getting into the industry at that point, and now they're running major corporations, they're leading giant teams, and it feels good to be able to be the one who gave them their first opportunity.
I love it. Just say yes. We're making t-shirts.
I like that. But there should be a little asterisk underneath, but not to everything.
So Sarah, I think, you know, you're kind of have a lot of tendrils out into the cannabis space. And, you know, I think the market right now, I mean, we've got all these macroeconomic things that are happening between commodities and pricing and taxation. And, you know, we're kind of on the verge of a recession, and it's just the markets right now are shit.
Right.
You're in California. I'm hearing a lot of chatter about California and cannabis. What are you seeing right now?
Oh, it's a dumpster fire out here. Yes. I think, yes. And I think come 2023, there will be, unfortunately, a lot less companies in the California space. I think everybody's basically going for that last stretch of towards the finish line, and we'll see who is still standing. A lot of consolidation is happening as well. And I think that's actually a good thing. I think partnerships are so important in this industry, because if you're doing one thing and you can't do the other thing, why not partner with someone who can do it and bring it all in-house? So we're seeing a lot of those kind of collaborative partnerships happening with different verticals of the industry, which I think is a wise thing to do, because you can't do everything. And I think that's what we're also seeing with major MSOs. You really can't do everything perfectly. So you need to kind of stay in your lane or partner with those who are doing it well.
I agree. I think that's very smart. But, you know, I think it is an issue. And you look at the landscape right now and you see these big MSOs, and there's so much consolidation that has happened and is happening now. You know, if you're a smaller company, you're kind of hoping, okay, can we sell this to a larger, you know, conglomerate, you know, be part of them? Or if we don't, are we out of business, right? Because it's very expensive. And so, you know, I think for the movement, at least in the last year, you know, we saw kind of a domino effect, at least on the East Coast. I'm in New York, you know, and actually seeing New York and New Jersey legalize is, you mean, you're talking like, this is no longer a small niche. This is like mainstream. Mm-hmm. And so I think everybody in New York right now is kind of waiting on bated breath. Like, when will retail sales be open for rec to everybody? Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, there's a bigger problem that's happening. There is a gray market that is kind of proliferating everywhere in New York. And not for people like us who are in the industry, we actually know, but there are people who, you know, are excited about cannabis and they're thinking, oh, it's legal. And they go and they buy from someone and they think it's a brand, but it's not a legitimate brand. They don't follow any compliance laws. They don't have any specific licenses, in fact. And so it's kind of like reminiscent to me of, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago when, you know, CBD became legal, you know, with the Farm Bill, and like, everybody was buying CBD at like gas stations or here. And they're like, yeah, I don't know the difference. It's all CBD. Right. But in fact, there is a big difference, right?
Yes.
Like, what do you think about that whole thing that's happening now? Like, should we get regulators to move faster? You know, is it okay? We want to make sure they're doing it right. But there's a bigger problem that's happening, right?
There absolutely is a giant problem. And we see it in California as well. Retail licenses are very restricted out here in terms of numbers. We have a lot of municipalities who have opted out, unfortunately. So there is not a lot of retail here that is licensed, but there are certainly a lot of unlicensed ones around. And so, you know, having seen that and been through it for a few years here in California, it is very much so negatively impacting licensed cannabis businesses. There's no way around it. And it's hard because I have utmost respect for legacy operators, 100%. I mean, in a way, my dad kind of was one back in the day also. So I get that. And I cherish what they do. I admire what they've done with the plant and grow it. And, you know, I've absolutely consumed multiple products throughout my life that, you know, obviously were unregulated. But if we want this to work, the regulators have to really crack down on those gray market stores. There's just no way for licensed companies to survive and thrive if that is still going on, because it's the price point. I mean, I hate paying taxes. It pisses me off sometimes that, you know, still out here an eighth can be after taxes $60+. That's annoying as shit to me. But, you know, at the end of the day, I need to support these licensed companies because that's the only way to move it forward. And again, I appreciate legacy operators and all that they've done. And I see so much, there's a lot of posts going on right now on LinkedIn and other social media sites about the, you know, suits versus legacy and things like that. But there is a way to work together, and both parties are not as bad as the other party thinks, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was big news that happened today, and most people didn't see it, but there was a bill that was passed. It was Bill 1885, and this was actually, believe it or not, in your home state of California, they legalized medical cannabis for dogs and cats.
That's amazing.
Who knew it wasn't legal before? But, you know, this was really for vets and, you know, being able to, you know, prescribe, you know, some type of THC-rich cannabis product for seizures and pet pain and all that stuff, which I think is great.
That's amazing.
But, like, you know, I think some people will be like, why would they do that? Like, they're going to be hotboxing dogs. Like,
no. Right. We're not wasting our stuff on the animals. Right, yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, I do think, though, you know, at least at Philo, like, we're, you know, we're out there and we're pushing, you know, our data on traditional brands, and traditional brands are using that data to drive consumer growth. And it's interesting because, you know, we started in the world of cannabis and we still, you know, work with all the cannabis brands and everything. But the traditional brands right now are so excited because they're like, whoa, we've never thought about that customer, and they spend a shit ton of money.
Yep.
So why don't we tap into them, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't want to name the brand, but there's a product that out there that everybody knows that covers up the scent of cannabis using, you know, laundry products, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And they're buying our data because they know that the people who are smoking want to cover up those smells, and it's just brilliant, right?
Yes.
It's very smart. So, you know, I personally, I don't know. I've been, like, really touting this to so many different people, but, you know, it's not just about the plant getting you high. It is the plant that is helping with your health in every single facet, right? It's sleep, it's anxiety, it's muscle pain, it's wellness, right? It's back pain. And so many people are now have the ability to, like, you know, enjoy this amazing plant that we have, not to get high, right, but to make their body better, stronger, healthier, right?
Yeah.
Aside from, and I know I've smoked with you before, so, but aside from, like, why, you know, like, do you use cannabis-related products for anything in your life? Like, I use it for sleep every night. I take my CBN THC gummy, and I ran out the other day, by the way, Sarah. I should have called you to, like, send me some.
Yeah.
New York. And I literally didn't have it for 3 days, and I didn't sleep well.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
So what do you use cannabis for outside of just recreation?
Absolutely. I 100% use it for parenting and being a patient parent. I have two kids, one's 12, one's 8, and there's a lot going on, a lot of emotions, a lot of things, and it just allows me to be more patient. It allows me to be more present. And it just, it allows me to have more fun with them too. You know, like, coloring for an hour is much better when you're high. So things like that. But I am a flower girl through and through. That's my preferred form factor. So I like to smoke. I have a Jerome Baker bong that I love and I bought for my husband for his 21st birthday, which was many years ago. So we still have it. And I love flowers. So that's my preferred method. I typically do it, you know, after I'm done working, before I start dinner, before, you know, all that jazz is happening. But I also really enjoy beverages. Over the last couple of months, I've slowed down on my alcohol consumption. I just wasn't feeling good when I was waking up. I just didn't need it. And again, I'm a huge fan of craft beer. So like 4 IPAs like in a night is a lot and it's like a full meal. So there's just a number of reasons that I moved away from it. But so I'm into beverages now for the social side, for the social aspect as well. But I'm a guinea pig. I'll try anything. I'm not going to lie. I will try anything.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm the same. I like to at least explore, you know, different things. You know, yeah. I think if you look at the, I'd say the growth at least with cannabis, you know, where we are today. I mean, you came in the market back in 2017, which was a few years before me. I didn't come into the cannabis market until pre-COVID. But, you know, you're talking about a $10 billion market share. And then if you look at 3 years from now, we're looking at almost $60 billion market share for cannabis. Yeah. That is insane, because if you look at the spirits industry, the spirits industry is essentially around $60 billion, right?
Right.
Wine is like $20 billion and beer is $100 billion.
Wow.
And we're at about, say, I don't know, roughly, if I were to make a very educated guess, we're probably around $25 billion right now. So a little more than wine.
Right.
And so you have that rapid acceleration that's happening. And you also have, you know, I'd say 65% of the entire country right now thinks that, you know, cannabis should be legal, which is every year it's going up more and more.
Yes, thank God.
What are some of the things that you're seeing, at least in your business? I know you guys do so much, you know, at ArcView with data and insights and analytics and consulting. Any trends that you guys are kind of seeing with this, you know, huge growth that we've been experiencing?
Definitely. So in terms of just consumer preferences, I think as more products are coming out onto the market and getting more visibility, people are interested in trying different things. So, you know, beverages, it's so basic. Everybody drinks something, you know, but people weren't really used to it, especially like on the East Coast and all of that until recently. I mean, in Minnesota, I'm just laughing because Minnesota totally messed things up, like for them, by allowing, you know, THC beverages to be legal and to be sold in bars and restaurants and things like that. But I think that's actually great because it's going to be a huge litmus test to see how consumers react to that option. So what we're seeing is just different form factors, a lot of different, you know, minor cannabinoids being used in different products. So like you said, you like the CBN products, those are great. The THCA, all of that. So those are definitely becoming more popular. And then in terms of other companies standing up, we are seeing so many tech companies coming to fruition. And this is a great thing. And also what's interesting is they're building it for the cannabis industry. But for the most part, most of these companies have eyes on larger opportunities as well. So they're kind of building these systems and platforms for our industry, but also saying, can we do it for the nutraceutical industry? Can we do this for traditional CPG? You know, building that. And I think that's an interesting way to view things because they're not siloing themselves just in building these things for cannabis. They're also looking at the bigger picture. And that's what's really exciting to me. So, you know, in addition to my day job, which I laugh because like I have extra time, I sit on the board of Ensemble Brands, which is a fund, and we just launched Fund 2, and we're focused on the tech plays and that with that fund specifically for these reasons. Because it's, yeah, a lot of brands and products aren't necessarily getting capital infusions right now, because it's oversaturated in the market. But I believe these new tech platforms and things like that, that's kind of the way that it's going right now. And they're getting some investments, which is good.
Cool. So Sarah, before we break, somehow we've already gotten to the 20-minute mark. Where am I going to see you next?
That is a great question. So ArcView is actually bringing back our investor summits, and we are going to New York August. We're way past August.
August.
I know. I don't even know what day it is, Jeff. We're bringing it back to New York October 19th, 20th, and 21st. So yes, a bunch of packed days full of panels, thought leadership. We're having our pitch event as well. And then we're doing something a little different. So we're having reverse pitches from VCs. So the VCs are going to be in the hot seat. They're going to go up on stage. They're going to pitch their fund to the audience and the operators and the entrepreneurs, just so people have an idea of what their appetite is for funding, what their theses are for their specific funds, and just kind of putting faces to the fund name. So this is exciting. I think, you know, a lot of the times investors kind of live under this shroud of secrecy and things like that. So we're giving them a stage so they can also tell their story. So I'm excited about that. And then we'll have a women's event as well for the women in the room, which is exciting. Always need a safe space for them.
Well, I hope that I see you, because I will be in New York that week, because it's also advertising week.
Yes.
And then, are you going to be at MJ Biz?
I am hoping to. That is, you know,
you want a rematch. You gotta be there.
I know. I would love a rematch, and this time I'll be studying up prior to it. I hope to be there. I'm going to say yes, and then just throwing it out in the universe and it'll happen. So yes, I will be in Vegas.
Send me your address, because I'm sending you a shirt that's going to say, just say yes.
Yeah, always. Just say yes. See? And hopefully the universe will back it up and make it happen. I love it.
Awesome. Well, listen, it was great to have you on. It's always a pleasure. I love hanging. Love talking to you.
Me too.
So thank you. And let's do it again.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Always enjoy chatting with you.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.